Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network, a group that supports entrepreneurs across the United States and in many foreign countries. I'm happy to welcome to the podcast today Mr. Matthew Kopich. Glad you're with us today, Matthew.
Oh, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great. Matthew is the president, CEO of the Garner North Carolina Chamber of Commerce. And for those of you who don't know where Garner is, it's a small but rapidly growing community just south of the capital city of Raleigh. Matthew, we're going to talk about your position with the chamber, but first, tell everyone a little bit about your background and how you came to the position you now have.
Sure. So I originally am from born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, so eastern North Carolina. I was pretty young. We moved to Goldsboro. My parents owned a carpet cleaning company, and so they did that for about 30 years until they sold it actually a couple years ago. But from there, I actually went to UNC Chapel Hill for undergrad and studied physical education, exercise, and sports science, interestingly enough. And my goal was to actually work in the NBA. I love basketball and played basketball in high school and was actually recruited into college, but decided to go to UNC. And I was not necessarily good enough to play there with Jerry Stackhouse and Antoine Jameson and those guys. So from there, I actually got an internship with the Charlotte Hornets in their marketing department after college. And so I went to Charlotte and was there for about 6 months. Decided that actually, you know, it's funny, you have these grand visions about what positions and jobs are, and then you get into them, you're like, oh, that's not really what I expected it to be. And so, you know, I felt from there that, you know, it wasn't really the family atmosphere that I was looking for in a position. And, you know, they were like, you know, everybody wants this job, so whether it's you or 50 other people, we don't care who it is to do that job. So, you know, that internship ended and I was like, you know, what am I going to do? So I actually decided to apply for graduate school and went to North Carolina Central University for graduate school and got my MBA there. Was doing some work over at UNC doing website design and technical writing, which for me as a creative person was pretty brutal. And actually saw an ad in the paper for a position as the marketing director for Downtown Durham Incorporated, which is a very similar organization to a Chamber of Commerce, but it was focused on downtown revitalization, exclusively focused on downtown in Durham, North Carolina. So that was before, you know, DPAC opened over there at Durham Performing Arts Center and all the restaurants kind of came in. So I started there actually and got that job in 2004 and was there for 12 years until 2016. So that position really gave me the experience of how to really grow, actually do economic development, how to put deals together, how to market really on a broader scale. I mean, when I started in Durham, downtown Durham for sure had the reputation as being the most dangerous city in North Carolina and potentially America at that point in time. And part of my role was to actually help change that perception. And so, you know, building relationships, marketing, going and speaking out in public to people and letting them know all the good things that were coming in Durham was a big part of my role. And seeing that growth over those 12 years and to what downtown Durham is now, you know, it's definitely a big change from what it was, you know, 12, 15 years ago. And so that led me to actually getting to a point where I was like, you know, what do I want to do with my life? I got to, you know, once you have success in an organization like that, it changes from being creative and building a community to more maintenance is where we had transitioned to. And that is not nearly as much fun. So I took a couple of years and worked a couple of positions as in a tech company. I worked as their chief marketing officer in a mortgage company. I worked as their VP of marketing or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. And was also pursuing this Instagram account that I have, which is a men's style and travel Instagram account where I have, I don't know, just over 40,000 followers right now. and is really focused on men's style, men's travel, and that was really my main focus for the for a couple of years, to figure out if that was a thing that was something that was viable and sustainable. And it was fun. I got to partner with all these interesting brands and create content for them, Brooks Brothers and even Target and Samuelson and some wine companies and some hotel brands where we would go travel and do photos for them. And so it was really interesting. But I really found and realized that my passion was economic development, helping to be involved and engaged in the community and building a community. And my fiance and I decided we wanted to stay in the Triangle. And then probably 2 weeks after that, this job posting came up with the Garner Chamber. And it was, I read the job description and it was all of my skills. So it was, you know, the nice thing about the Garner Chamber is a little more creative than other chambers and other communities. So they did the Broadway Voices and they had all these things that were a little different. And that was my background at Downtown Durham Incorporated, doing fun, different things that really engaged the community. And so it became really a perfect fit and made a lot of sense. And then in February, I guess, is when I started. So right before the pandemic hit. So
right.
It's an interesting 7 months.
Right. Well, you mentioned Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets, and me and my wife are season ticket holders for the Charlotte Hornets basketball team. And also, you mentioned North Carolina Central. I'm a graduate of North Carolina Central, and so we have a connection there as well. So, anyway, let me ask you this. You've had only a handful of face-to-face meetings with members of the chamber and with the community since you've been in your position, obviously because of restrictions placed on all of us due to coronavirus. How have you adapted to this quote-unquote new normal that we've experienced over the past few months?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, luckily the things that I've done in my background, you know, social media and video, I have experience in those kind of things. And so I would say we decided, my VP and I, April Wood, decided pretty early on, this was probably the second or third week in March, probably the second week in March, we sat down and met, and we're like, this could last for a long time. You know, nobody knows exactly how long it's going to last or how long it would last at that point in time, but we decided really early to start planning for, if it lasts a long time, we need to figure out how we can adapt and be a little progressive in our thinking about how a chamber can work in these circumstances. And because we can all plan events, professionals in our industry can plan events, in-person events, you know, in our sleep, right? And that's an easy thing to do. So if this was over by, you know, August or July of, you know, a few months ago, you know, we could have transitioned pretty easily back to the normal of what we had done in the past. What we weren't experts in is figuring out how to video conference, how to run an event, and not be one that you plan as an in-person event and then transition it to video, because that just doesn't work. It's a different, you know, you're providing a different form of entertainment, essentially. And so we need to figure out how we did that. So we decided pretty early on to go full force into Zoom and figuring out how we make it work when we can't meet in person. After a few months, we have to be really flexible, and we learned that, you know, there were some things that we weren't doing. So we weren't necessarily marketing some of the smaller businesses that were really, really struggling as much as we should. So, you know, pretty quickly after we realized that and our board kind of discussed it, we decided to really start focusing on that. You know, our main goal really in the first, by mine anyway, from the first 4 months was to stabilize the chamber, right? Because there's so many unknowns. Try and focus on what you can actually control, and then figure out once we were stabilized as a chamber in terms of membership, in terms of events, and how we can digitally run some events, you know, how we can then transition into more of a community focus. And that's kind of how we've looked at it, how we've transitioned. You know, I think personally for everybody, it's been a challenge. Heard an interesting article yesterday about, you know, everybody, once everything started shutting down and things changed, you couldn't do the things that you were doing normally. So going out to restaurants, simple things like that. Everybody's dealing with this loss, and it's almost like it's not a death, but it is a tremendous loss of the normal that people were used to. And so people are actually going through the stages of grief. It's really interesting, this article. I'll send it to you because I think you'd be interested in it. But everybody's kind of going through these stages of grief at their on their own time and at their own pace. And you kind of see that in people dealing with, you know, denial and acceptance and these different things. And it's been quite interesting when you start reading things like that about how this has changed our lives and that we are really dealing with a lot of loss here in the way that we used to live.
Well, it's different. There's no doubt about that. And you mentioned virtual meetings, and I've attended a few of the virtual meetings that have been put on by the chamber, and it's very interesting all of what we're going through. So it's a matter of adapting to what we have. Let me ask you this: other than dealing with the effects of this pandemic, what do you see as being the biggest challenge facing Garner going forward as a community?
I would say growth. I mean, growth is going to be the biggest challenge. You know, we are, like you said, we are in one of the fastest growing areas in the country, and it continues even through the pandemic. I mean, the real estate market, all the realtors that I've talked to, a lot of them are doing more business than they've ever done. The people are still moving here. I think the challenge is the things that growth brings. It's positive. You know, obviously property values go up, and more people are here to spend money at the businesses that we have, and more new businesses open, and there's more creativity and more innovation. But with that, you have, you know, traffic issues, and you have rising property values, right? That's good for some people. It's not necessarily positive for others who have been in an area for a while, and you know, they have paid property taxes, and they're used to paying those, and those go up. So, you know, those challenges that we face, I mean, even things as simple as drinking water, making sure we all have enough as we grow as a triangle region, as a whole, like making sure that we have those things in place. I think the transit, you know, is going to be a big challenge. And we work closely with the NCDOT and, you know, obviously our, you know, town government to make sure we are trying to plan for the future. But, you know, that brings a whole host of things. And Garner has been kind of a little behind the rest of the surrounding communities of Raleigh and Durham, really. And so we're kind of, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, with 540. Has it been completed around this way yet? When that happens, this is obviously now it's desirable, but it's going to be even more desirable as we kind of move into the completion of those type of things and the development that will bring. And so, you know, that's something that I had experienced when we were in Durham. That kind of accelerated in fast growth over a 10-year period. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, one, this job interests me, but that, you know, I think they hired me is because, you know, having those regional connections and making sure that Garner is a big player when these regional things happen. We need to make sure that we have a voice and that when money is spent on these transit opportunities that we are, you know, at the top of the list. To get those things. So essentially, you know, we want every community to do well, Raleigh and surrounding communities. But obviously we want to make sure that we get the things that make us a desirable community to live in and work in, and be a part of.
Right. You mentioned, Garner being behind in terms of growth, but actually that also provides an opportunity because of the open areas that we have in Garner itself and the greater Garner area, the surrounding communities, especially going south from Garner, away from Raleigh, spaces that you don't have in some of these other municipalities surrounding Raleigh, like Apex and Cary and Morrisville and places like that. Would you agree?
Yep. Yeah. And the nice thing is, you know, you're right. We do have this big opportunity, right? So we have, you know, we have land. Actually, the land here is probably the most affordable land that you can buy in the Triangle region, right? And so, for developers, obviously that's desirable because they can actually make money here. And that's obviously what we want. We need to make sure that the development we get though is what we want, right? And the nice opportunity now is that since we were a little behind, you know, it's not in a bad way, but now things have shifted with the pandemic, right? I mean, we're going to be in a different environment when this is over. And so, you know, what happens with retail and shopping centers and those kind of things? And we still have this developable land where we can build the new thing that's going to be whatever is what the community and the market wants over the next 20 or 30 years. We're in a really strong position to actually provide those type of things as we move forward. and growth is coming. You know, there's nothing we can do to stop it. It's going to happen, and it's either going to be growth that just kind of pops up and is kind of makeshift, and whatever developer wants to do this, that, and the other, or we can actually get behind as a community and actually make sure that we get the type of development that we want that allows us as a community to grow as we want to.
Well, Matthew, we've been just talking about growth here in Garner, and I was going to ask you about that. As a matter of fact, that was going to be my next question, the fact of Garner being so close to Raleigh. If I have my directions correct, just south of the city, or at least adjacent to Raleigh. But let me ask you this more specific question as far as the role of the chamber in helping guide some of this growth that we're talking about, since apparently this growth will be with us for a while.
Yeah, I think the chamber's role is really to make sure that the Garner community as a whole comes together with like a strong voice as part of the bigger Triangle region. When you look at their region, you know, there's obviously, you know, all these different communities surrounding Raleigh. Each one has their own identity and is a little different. But when you, you know, start talking about the entire metro area, we are really just one big city. You know, when you go up 70 from Garner into Raleigh, you don't really know where one begins and one ends. It's the same from Raleigh to all their surrounding communities. It's the same from Raleigh to Durham and back and forth. It's really hard to differentiate if you're not from this area and you're driving around the triangle. And so, you know, I think our goal as a chamber is to make sure that us and the town, who we have a really close and great working relationship with, that we're all on the same page, and making sure that we're identifying, you know, development sites, we're identifying the transit needs that we have, and working closely with the Department of Transportation, with, you know, with Wake County to make sure that we are kind of, you know, first on the list to get these things as we move forward. You know, I think it's the chamber's role is really to be a cheerleader, plus really be integral in promoting and bringing developers and bringing interest into the community. So in terms of, you know, regionally, we work on those kind of things, but more locally, we want to make sure that we are connected with the Amazon when Amazon opens, and we are able to, you know, bring in employees and make sure those employees have places to go and things to do, and, you know, making sure that we are part of that as we move forward as a community.
Well, it's really interesting as far as this growth is concerned, and it's almost a two-edged sword. I think we all want to encourage growth, but at the same time, we don't want to fall into the trap that some of the larger cities in other areas of the country have gotten into in terms of being strangled, so to speak, by the growth that they've experienced. And at the same time, I think you'll agree with this, it would be great if we kept, to a certain extent, the small town feel of Garner, what it's been known for a lot of years. So I think that's a challenge as well. What do you think about that, having the growth, but at the same time, making sure that we keep some of the traditional small town feel of the area?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, we dealt with this when I was in Durham. You want to make sure the small businesses are the small businesses and the small town feel. That's what gives a community their identity, right? And that's obviously true of Garner as well. So there's a fine line between how you make sure that that happens and then bringing in this growth. And it's you know, I know this is just a challenge that every single community that has success deals with. And so, you know, I think the best ways to do it are really to encourage, you know, local businesses to open, to stay here, whether it's through, you know, marketing campaigns or incentives or whatever it is, to make sure our local businesses and our small businesses really give that identity to our community and stay that way. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge everywhere. And it's not an there's no easy answer to that in terms when you look at economic development. But, you know, I think being cognizant of it and make sure you're continuing to push, you know, local, you know, small businesses, small entrepreneurship, innovation, and those kind of things with our local community, I think is really key.
But, you know, as you know, we've been experiencing a great deal of growth, especially over the last few years. I would say maybe the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years that we didn't have before. But I want to ask you a question about a new development that I heard about initially maybe a couple of years ago, and it's the Downtown South Development, and I'm sure you're familiar with that. With a proposed soccer stadium, high-rise development in Raleigh. But, of course, again, as we said earlier, Raleigh is adjacent to Garner. And so with this kind of development, if it happens to come about and when it happens to come about, how do you think it might affect even more growth here in Garner?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, right now, I think, you know, the Garner town limit, we're about 5 miles from downtown Raleigh. Downtown South, you know, is another, what, couple miles, I think, south of downtown Raleigh. So it's 3 miles from Garner. And so, you know, that growth and expansion that you see in downtown Raleigh, it's going south. And so not other than downtown South, there's also been a couple other projects that have been proposed right around that area, just south of that area as well, both in Raleigh. We're all in Raleigh, I guess, and still moving towards Garner. So, again, you know, it's something that is a real positive, I think, for the future of Garner, but presents these challenges. I think, you know, when you talk about transit, I don't know if you're familiar with the bus rapid transit that is going to be launching. I mean, it's going to be in a few years, but we're in the planning stages of that right now. And the first stop, essentially, in the first route is going to be from essentially downtown Raleigh to Garner. And so it's essentially bus lanes, and it's, you know, dedicated bus lanes and faster bus service because we don't have rail right now. And so, you know, it would come down to Garner and stop, make a few stops in Garner, then head back up to downtown Raleigh. But it goes right past downtown South and those areas of development. So I think in terms of connection and what that is going to bring here is going to be really positive. Again, you know, as far as we know, that's, you know, at some point that will happen, the downtown South. Whether it's exactly what is proposed right now, you know, that remains to be seen. Those things always kind of change as, you know, as years go by and the world happens. And so, you know, it's going to be a really positive thing as those things move closer to Garner. But it's a real big opportunity. Once you add that plus the downtown, plus the, you know, 540 finishing, plus the BRT and the rail at some point in time, I mean, it really puts us in a good position as Garner. And the thing that I would say is that, you know, our town government has been amazing in the way they have, you know, worked with us, but worked with the community in terms of economic development, in terms of trying to plan and look forward into the future. And so I feel really encouraged by the role that they've been playing and us partnering with them and then the private sector as well and coming together and really trying to make these things happen. And I think preparation, it's just being prepared and knowing these things are coming and being as prepared as you possibly can for them as they happen is really important.
But, you know, related to the traffic issue that you mentioned earlier, as well as transit, obviously a concern is with infrastructure. And I was looking over the Internet recently and I saw an article. And it was by a New York construction attorney. And I'd like to quote this part of this article to you and get your response. And he says that, and I quote, "It's not just rapidly growing cities that are worried about infrastructure issues. In large and small cities across the United States is an urgent need for updated infrastructure, including roads, bridges, and rail lines." Now, you mentioned transit, you mentioned traffic issues. So all of these things will become, actually, they're already very important. So again, how do you address, or how would we as a chamber, for example, promote the continued growth with the infrastructure needs that we're no doubt going to have in the future with all this growth coming?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is, you know, so when, you know, with Amazon is a good example, you know, where they needed infrastructure in order to make that deal work. They needed the roads updated, you know, 40 and in front of the facility. And so, you know, how you tie almost investment of a large company into helping to pay essentially for the road. Like, they're not going to do it unless that deal happens. And then the tax dollars that you receive from that help to pay for infrastructure needs. There's, you know, industrial development here that needed, sewer lines or something that needed to go into the space that weren't connected for a new development. And then the town kicks in that to help that project get done. And so looking at those kind of things, I think it's planning, and obviously planning and funding are the two biggest things in how this all works. And obviously funding is always going to be hard. I think, and making sure you forecast out. That's why I think us having a voice as Garner, making sure that we have a voice, and for the next 5 to 10 years, we have, all right, here's the areas of development, here's the areas of growth, and we need to make sure that we continually push and ask and continue to make the case for the investment of, Wake County government, obviously our town, DOT, the state, federal funds, if they're available, to make sure that we're planning these things out. Because a lot of times, you need years and years of these kind of plans and years of pitching, here's why we need this, and to continue to, kind of put your foot on the gas to make sure that we get this investment in our community in terms of the infrastructure. And I think it's the Chamber's role to, one, be kind of at the forefront of making sure that we have those plans and ideas in place, and that we can actually pitch those over a number of years to actually get the funding for the future of where that growth is going to be. And I think that's a big role that the Chamber will play. And that's, kind of one of my goals is to actually make sure that we are that regional player. I think that's a bigger role for our Chamber, and moving forward in that sense is really going to be try to address those issues before they become bigger issues.
Well, Matthew, we're about out of time. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we return, we'll go ahead and finish the show. But I'd like to tell our listeners that you will be with us next week for the second part of this with this interview. And I'm sure you'll be giving us a lot more information at that time as well. But let's go on a break right now. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're back with Matthew Coppedge, the president and CEO of the Garner Chamber of Commerce here in North Carolina. And Matthew, I'm so glad that you were able to be with us today. And again, as I said before the break, you're going to be with us again next week to talk about other issues that is a concern not only for Garner, but for the country as a whole. And next week we'll be talking about some of the social unrest issues and some of the other issues that confront our community here in Garner and the greater Raleigh area. And so I really look forward to that. But let me ask you this. Do you have anything else that you want to add before we close this particular segment?
I just want to, thank you for having me on. I'd love to talk about the Garner community and the exciting things that are going on as we kind of find our way in the bigger Triangle region. And but I appreciate you having me on to talk about it.
And congratulations for your wedding coming up. I think you mentioned that earlier, and I'm sure you're excited about that.
We are certainly excited about it. So it's a couple weeks away. So.
Well, thank you again, Matthew, for being with us. And I'd like to also, again, thank our sponsor, Every.Black Entrepreneur Podcasting Network. And I'd like to say to everyone, remember, whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.